The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, creators of the viral sensation The Miller Fam, Stephen and Amanda Miller, explain the art of getting it wrong.
We all mess up, and maybe my mess up in the world's eyes is a little bigger than your mess up. And by God, if people knew the things that I've done behind closed doors, I mean, and that's the truth of every, it's sort of our worst fear that we would be fully known. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the gospel is that we are fully known, mm-hmm. and we're fully loved.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, here with my cohort, Randy Robison. And we're excited. I've known this gentleman for a long, long time, and I've never met him. You know, that's the way social media goes these days. You know, you kind of become familiar with someone. But we're very excited to welcome Stephen Miller and his beautiful wife, Amanda, to the show.
Thank you.
And we're excited because you have a brand new book.
I do.
Intriguing title, The Art of Getting It Wrong. Why did you choose that title?
You know, I think there's one universal truth to every person, and that is to err is human, right? To fail is a normal part of life. And so there's got to be something that you can get out of that, right? It's not like the end. And I wanted to kind of give a little bit of hope, both for the person who's considering doing something. Maybe there's a passion in their heart or a purpose that God's put in their heart, and they're just, you know, paralyzed with anxiety over the fear of failing. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I've come on the other side of this and I tried some things and I didn't get it right. What do I do in the wake of that? And so it's really about, hey, I want to tell you, you're not your failure. Your failure isn't final. And your failures don't define you, but they can refine you. They could be the greatest thing that actually pushes you even further into your purpose and helps you to become the person that God has created you to be and is creating you to be. So that's kind of the, I sort of played off of the whole Bob Ross thing, if you will. So, you know, you've got the little mistake. Well, that's just a happy little tree now. So it's the literal art of getting it wrong, you know.
There are no mistakes. There's only,
that's right.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Okay, didn't expect to Bob Ross reference in the show.
Just come out of the gate hot.
I love it, actually. Now, you are not afraid to set yourself up for potential failure.
Yeah.
You got a few kids.
Just a couple. Yeah, okay. We've got seven. So, you know, we've got 18, 16, 16, 15, 14, 8, and 6. And so it's a kind of a crazy time around our house all the time.
But. Yeah, and then you do that, which is crazy enough, you know, but then you put it on where people can see it. So you got the Miller Fam, right? The show.
Mm-hmm. YouTube channel.
YouTube, right? Why do you put yourselves out there so much? That would terrify me, even though I do this. Yeah. The whole family thing would be like, oh, no, no.
It can be really scary. I think at first when we were even kind of praying through that, you know, you're really counting the cost, and it can be really scary because people can be very critical, and this is your family that you're talking about.
Sure.
But, you know, there's just a passion in our heart to share the beauty of adoption, the beauty of diversity, and ultimately the beauty of the gospel.
Yeah.
And so as we were kind of sharing that story and adopting our children and bringing them home, we saw that was really resonating with a lot of people, and we thought, you know, this could be a really amazing way to be able to share all of that, mm-hmm. and in ways that, you know, people you would never otherwise meet. So
I think it's fabulous. I love it. Yeah. How many of your children are adopted, and where did they come from to find you?
So we have 4 adopted children and then 3 biological children. 2 of our kids are adopted from Ethiopia and 2 from China. And it's been a wild journey, but we've seen the Lord kind of orchestrating our steps, you know, every step of the way. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Not always easy.
Definitely not. But, you know, most things that are worth doing aren't. So I feel like that's part of the beauty of getting to do what we do online is there's such a fear of the unknown, you know, and there's sort of this mystique and mystery about it. And people, who, if you don't know, then you don't know. So the fact that we kind of get to tell our story, I think maybe tears down some of those walls and helps people to see that, you know, they can do it as well, if that's what God's putting on their heart, you know, sure. That you can step out in faith. And
yeah. What have been some of the bigger battles you've had to fight through?
Well, you know, I think particularly most recently we adopted our son Lincoln.
Who is adorable.
He's amazing, and he's just the happiest kid in the world, and
he really is.
Always laughing. I mean, you give him a book and a snack and he's good to go. Yeah. But, you know, we knew he had left side hemiplegia, so we knew when he was either
What's
in
that?
Utero
yeah.
or very, very just born, he had had several strokes. Mm-hmm. It's a form of cerebral palsy that he strokes on the right side of his brain that affected the left side of his body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of weakness on the left side. Couldn't mm-hmm. walk, wasn't supposed to be able to walk, wasn't supposed to be able to talk, wasn't supposed to be able to do any of that. Mm-hmm. And when we brought him home, we knew that was an issue. We didn't know the extent of it. Okay. And so lots of MRIs, you know, scans, all kinds of stuff, doctor visits later. A year in, we found out he had a rare brain disease called Moyamoya, which restricts the capillaries in the blood in the vein in your brain and starves the brain of oxygen, right. Which is what was causing the strokes to begin with, why he had cerebral palsy to begin with. And so it wasn't a matter of if he would have another stroke, but when he would have another stroke. So in 2018, October, we went up to Northern California. There are two kind of prominent doctors in the nation that do this kind of surgery where they cut open the brain and there's sort of one sort of super highway vein that goes extracranial, so outside of the skull, and they moved it onto the actual brain. And the cool thing about the brain is that your body is just a miracle. I mean, God has done amazing things in creating us the way he has. It sort of takes root and creates a whole new vascular system to the brain.
Wow.
So he went from, like, you know, very, very minimal blood flow to now he's like 97-98% on both sides of his brain.
Yeah.
And so tons and tons of physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy later. And, you know, the kid who wasn't supposed to walk is now running.
Oh, wow. Chasing
and the kid, who's the kid who wasn't supposed to talk is now singing Jesus Loves Me.
Oh.
You know, and he can't really say the words, but he's got the melody down. He has better rhythm than anyone I think I've ever, and I'm a musician, yeah. You know, he's got tempo and it's awesome to watch him. He is a miracle, so.
One of the things that I love about this book, The Art of Getting It Wrong, is your willingness to be vulnerable and transparent. Because I think that's how we steward our suffering, you know, I think it's just, but you talk very honestly about being bullied as a little boy, and that, as a mom of a boy, that just broke my heart. What kind of impact did that have on you?
I mean, I think Amanda and I talk about this so much, like, the weight of that, you don't really realize. I mean, you know you're feeling it as a kid, but you don't really know the impact that it has on you. That, for me, it played out in this, like, insatiable need to prove myself, that I was good enough, you know, that I wasn't last picked, that, you know, I wasn't ugly and fat and stupid and whatever. And so just a real driven personality and a real, you know, I felt that need pretty hardcore. And that can really do a lot of good stuff. It can be a force for good in your life. It can also be a really difficult thing, particularly with interpersonal relationship. I mean, I think probably 90% of our fights are because I feel like I've got something to prove, you know? And you've been so gracious and so patient and so empathetic and compassionate toward that part of me that needed healing. And really writing the book was a very healing part of that too, because it's sort of cathartic to get that out there and say these things in a way that hopefully is encouraging someone else and saying, hey, look, you're not what the bully said you were, you know, even as I'm almost 40 years old and I, you know, sometimes still will have that inner monologue telling me that's who I am. And so to be able to say to somebody, that's not who you are, you know, and understanding the power of words on my own life. And if that's how they have impacted me, how much of my words impacted others as well. And so it causes you to measure the weight of every word a little more.
That's good.
So here's the difficult part, I think, for people. I mean, you know, let's face it, in our culture, you know, you commit a crime, you're a felon. You know, you steal, you get busted for that, you're a thief. But you're saying that your failures don't define you, and yet people are going, I'm a divorcee, you know, or I'm a failed husband or wife or parent, or, you know, we know what we've done.
Sure.
Our hearts condemn us. Mm-hmm. How do we not let those failures define us, but rather refine us?
Sure. Yeah. I think you're hitting on something that's at the core of all of our worst fears. Yeah. And that's namely that we live in a society that writes our victories in the sand, and the next wave that comes right. up, it's gone. And then they just take a dadgum jackhammer and etch it into concrete whenever we mess up, right. you know? And so on a horizontal level, you know, interpersonally between me and others, sometimes the consequences of my failures are not going to just go away, right? It takes right. a lifetime to build trust and a second to lose it. But vertically speaking, which is my greatest identity between God and me, and that's what the cross is all about, that's not what defines me. What defines me is that I am created in the image of God. I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Mm. I've been redeemed. I have been given a new name, a new family, a new hope, an eternal inheritance. I've been filled with the Spirit, empowered, and I'm not that person. So my primary identity is not my failure. My primary identity is a son of God. Mm. And I think that that's huge, particularly for the self-talk part of us. Mm. I do talk a lot about it in the book that, like, there is a real consequence of breaking that trust. And, sure. Depending on the gravity of your failure,
right.
you know, there may be some serious ongoing consequences. But as far as it's up to you, you have the option to choose how that makes you into the person you're becoming. I was talking with my son yesterday. He came and said, "Dad, is it true? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." And I was like, you know, I know Kelly Clarkson really wrote that yeah. amazing song. Yeah. And I want to believe that that's true. And I think that it has the potential to be true. But it could be that what doesn't kill you makes you bitter. Or what doesn't kill you makes you angry. Yeah. Or what doesn't kill you makes you...
It maims you for life.
Exactly. So it really does depend on your perspective. It depends on how you internalize that and metabolize that failure, because it can coach you on what you do next. Mm-hmm. If I say something that's hurtful to someone, I can either bow up and you know, cognitive dissonance allow me to, like, feel like I was in the right and it was whatever, or I can humble myself and apologize. But I think the other thing about that is, and what I'm hoping people will see with the book, is that we all get it wrong.
Yeah.
Which means if I know this is true about myself, and I know this is true about you, this gives me an opportunity to hopefully have a little more grace for you.
Right. Sure. Right.
As well as for myself. Okay. I'm sort of like subversively trying to cancel culture with this book. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Because we all mess up, and maybe my mess up in the world's eyes is a little bigger than your mess up. And by God, if people knew the things that I've done behind closed doors, I mean, and that's the truth of every, if it's sort of our worst fear that we would be fully known. Mm-hmm. But the truth about the gospel is that we are fully known, mm-hmm. and we're fully loved, mm-hmm. and we're fully forgiven. Not mm-hmm. mostly forgiven, not all, but just a little bit forgiven. But God's like reserving a little bit so that he can just kind of bring it back up later. Yeah. All the way forgiven.
Not even eventually forgiven, not yet.
Just right now.
Right now. Man.
And it's immediate. And that's what's true of me. So even if everyone else thinks I'm the worst human on the planet, God actually likes me, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, Amanda, is it seems like everywhere I go at the moment, I'm hearing about the need for foster parents, the need for children to be adopted.
Yeah.
And I wondered, I would guess, I mean, I don't know you both well, but I guess you're probably an extrovert.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. And I guess that you perhaps are more like me, more like an introvert.
Yeah.
I wondered, what has that journey been like for you? Because a lot of people are terrified at the thought they won't get it right or they won't be good enough.
Yeah, with adoption, that journey for us was really scary. I think it was a leap of faith for sure. And it's been amazing to see our whole journey has been just a story of God's grace. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many times where you don't get it right or you feel like you don't necessarily know what the right thing is. You know, parenting adopted children is a little different than parenting biological children because you're dealing with trauma and grief and loss. And so you don't have like this manual of exactly how to parent in that way. Mm-hmm. But what I think is amazing is how the Lord really gives you the grace for that day and really does lead you in a way that, you know, You have everything you need in Christ to parent the children that God has put into your home and into your life. And so it does feel like you're living on faith every day, but it's
been... Which is really how we should all be living anyway.
Yeah, it's a reminder. It is just a daily reminder that you just need the Lord's guidance every day, so...
Yeah, and your failures don't define you. Don't forget that part.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
A couple... The people that sit here a lot, they adopted me at birth.
Yeah.
So I'm on the adoptee end of things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, the fact that you have given up so much of your lives to raise these children, that they'll see that. That there's a specialness to that.
Mm. Was that a challenge for the children you gave birth to? When you bring new children to the family, how did they all get on?
Yeah. Well, that was one of our biggest prayers, was that the Lord would just have our children bond and really, you know, that we would all kind of just mesh together really well. And I think that is a big concern for people that are adopting. You want to make sure that all of your children are doing well, right? It was amazing to see our kids really did bond and thrive really quickly, but certainly not without challenges.
Sure.
It's hard to navigate that, but yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah, and I think part of that was that our kids were so excited, that our biological kids that were at home, particularly when we adopted Jude and Liam from Ethiopia, mm-hmm. that was their adoption. Like, this is my adoption. They baked brownies, they baked cookies, they went door to door trying to help raise money to bring them home. And so, I mean, that was their brothers from day one, you know, which was really cool. But then, you know, 2 months in, our daughter Reese has like got her suitcase and she's like, I'm going to Gigi's, you know? So it's like, I think it's just like with any family, you know, and that goes with newborn biological babies too. Like there's a certain level of like, I'm used to getting so much attention and now that attention is diverted to this newborn or whatever. And so it's very similar in a lot of ways. When you add to your family, it's beautiful and it's a broken process and it's just amazing and hard all at once. Yeah. So,
You can ask, you tell those new ones that they can say what I told my sisters, which was my parents chose me, but they were stuck with me.
Exactly.
So, we appreciate you guys putting it out there. And the art of getting it wrong obviously makes you chuckle a little bit. But at the end of the day, what do you want people to just take home with them? What do they need to know when they look at you guys and listen to you guys? Mm. That they can apply to their own lives?
You know, I think the biggest thing is that, across the board, for me, the need to know that I'm not my failures is so big. The need to know that my failure isn't final is so big. And when I look at our family, I think that's fairly evident. Like, I posted this on social media, about 2 months before the book came out, I get this sort of like, I start getting anxious.
Oh,
you probably feel this too.
I totally get that.
Because you're putting yourself out there and you're like, oh, please like this. You know, I hope you like this.
Don't tell me my baby's ugly.
Exactly. And I'm just starting to get anxious. And I said, hey guys, you know, the good thing is I've written a book about that I will be preaching to myself with the release of this thing because, like, even if it bombs, whatever that means, like, that doesn't, that's not who I am,
right?
You know? And everyone commenting is like, that's right, you're a dang good dad, and you're an amazing husband, and Jesus loves you. And so it's like all these people reiterating to me, they haven't even read the book yet, but what we inherently know is true for other people.
Yeah.
Is true for us as well.
Yeah.
And so if someone's watching this and they're thinking like, I've just messed this thing up and I have no idea what I'm going to do, like, there's hope. It's not over. Your failure's not final. Your failure does not define you. The Lord who created the universe defines you. He's given you a better name, a better hope, a better plan, a better future than you could ever imagine. And I'm just blown away that that's true for me, you know? And
so let's make sure the book does not bomb. Oh, and we're gonna tell you how you can get your own copy of this book. But first of all, we would love you to help us with something. We always come a little early in the year and talk about Christmas shoes and smiles, which you might think, well, why are you talking about it now? That's because we have a plan in place and we wanna make sure that the help gets there when it's needed. So please watch this.
All around the world, children face severe problems like starvation, filthy drinking water, and sexual predation. But where heartache abounds, so do opportunities to put God's love into action. Recently, you may have helped us seize these opportunities by providing a child with a daily bowl of food, rescuing an at-risk girl from human traffickers, or drilling a clean water well for a needy village. This coming Christmas, we have an opportunity to bless many of these same children with a special gift that they'll cherish and that will protect their very lives.
This is Berta, and we want to be able to get her children some shoes. It's not just a matter of giving them something for their feet. It's very important. But the main thing is they get diseases walking around here barefoot, and their little feet just get tortured.
I guess you don't really think about, if she's walking around without a pair of shoes, how it affects her feet. If her foot gets cut and she's stepping even in contaminated water, how that could affect her feet, infect her feet.
This really is a gift of life as much as anything else. So let's try these, buddy. Let's see how they go. It so reminds me of like Christmas morning, you know, in our house. It's like they're showing each other their shoes. They're excited because they look so cool. Something as simple as a pair of shoes can really change a child's life.
Help make this Christmas one these children will never forget. Help us provide Christmas shoes and smiles.
Because of your gift, we're able to put shoes on her feet. Now she'll be able to run around and be safe. $3.60. That's what it costs to make a pair of these shoes. And I'll never forget my very first trip in Africa, looking at the children who were running around in the village who had no shoes on. And I was kind of horrified because there was, I mean, it's not like running around in nice grass, very rough, all sorts of things they can hurt themselves on. And once their feet get hurt, and they get infected from the water that's filthy, because they'll jump in the water where the same animals are feeding, and it's just horrible. And then I'll never forget the next day I got the privilege of putting my very first pair of shoes on a little one's feet, and to see the joy. And I just think, wouldn't it be great if this Christmas we made it about giving because of how much we have been given. Jesus is the best friend I've ever had in my life. He has changed my life completely. I couldn't live without him. And now because of that, out of that joy and hope, we want to bring that kind of hope to children this Christmas time. 150,000 pairs of shoes. That's what we want to send out.
I never thought that shoes would bring a level of dignity to it. I just hadn't thought of it. I don't know. But when you talk about, have you ever, last time I went shopping, I hate shopping. You know this, right?
Yes.
And I had to buy some shoes. And they're expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can you buy a pair of shoes for $36 nowadays? Anywhere? I mean,
or $3.60.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You get 10 pairs of shoes for $36 now. Not just buying them, but spreading them around the world. I mean, it's what way we've been able to do this. Do you know, it's been like 2.5 million mm-hmm. pairs of shoes over the years. And then you get into the surgeries to restore the cleft palate and the cleft lip, and you got the smiles. We've done over 2,500 of those over the years. This is just such a beautiful thing, Sheila, and I want this year to succeed. I want to exceed our goal of 150,000 pairs of shoes this year. Let's do it. We need your help. We have to do it together. $180 will send out 50 pairs of shoes this Christmas. $180, 50 pairs of shoes. That blows my mind because you just can't do that here in the States. Or if you want to provide that surgery, an average of $500, we'll provide that surgery, which will radically alter a child's life. Let's do it. Let's make this Christmas really, really special and joyful. And let's do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we're celebrating. Will you do something now? Do whatever you can. Just be a part. That's all I ask. Be a part. Go online. Go to the phone. Make the best gift you can right now. Let's get ready. Christmas is not that far away, and you can make it very special this year through Christmas shoes and smiles. Do it now.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you will be a part this Christmas season, and do it right now. Do it today. Go online. Go to the phones and make the best gift you can. And when you do, you can request something today with your any gift, and we will send it to you.
Yeah, you can request Stephen's book, The Art of Getting It Wrong. Great subtitle, Finding Good in the Misadventures of Life. Thank you both so much for being with us. It was just lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having us on. It's awesome.
Let's sell the book, people. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today.
I didn't know that I could be liked for myself or for who I was, and so I was constantly trying to be somebody else.
Joyce Meyer, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.